Blog Talk Radio.
Monday night New Shirt Beta Radio. Joe Willie Namath and the New York Jets taking on the Cleveland Browns. Wait.
The 3-10 Jets versus the 12-1 Dallas Cowboys.
Well, wait. Since we brought it up, there's only one thing to do.
Baseball being light years ahead in its handling of the drug problem. Of course, there is a plethora of, what are you doing to me? What happened? Hello.
Hello.
What did you do to me in the middle of a show that was saying exactly what I wanted to say? Why? It's only radio. It's so simple. Now, will somebody cut in and talk to me, please? I know where the hell I'm at now. Hello.
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 Hello. Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
What happened?
Hello.
Who's that? Jerry Sheehan? What happened was, in the middle of my show, I suddenly was broken in on with a Solocane commercial.
You must have been on Blog Talk.
I was simply in the middle of saying exactly what I wanted to say on a sensitive subject, and it's just criminal. I mean, radio is so simple, I don't have these problems in television. Now what do you want me to do? Now what do I do?
Hello.
Ah, Jesus Christ. I give up. I just give up. I quit. I'm going to call Ed McLaughlin right now. Can somebody talk to me? I just got pins off. Is there anybody there that can talk to me? Answer me.
Hello.
Before I call the president of the radio network.
Try and get the president of Blog Talk on.
I guess not.
Good luck.
It is simply unbelievable.
That never stops being funny.
Oh, man. Jesus.
I didn't.
Right.
Jesus Christ. Hello.
I mean, it's radio. Simple radio program. So we're here and we're near and we're here and we're no veneer. It's a special Monday night broadcast of Blue Shirt Banter Radio. And how I think you were right on spot by having Howard come in with at the top, Jim. You were thinking like Abe Lincoln, and that was fantastic. I could listen to Howard speak for hours, as I would say.
I never had these problems on television. This is simple.
It's not like we're doing a network television spectacular. But there's a lot to talk about. I know we were kind of debating whether there would be stuff to talk about, but there's rumors. There's two rumors floating out there. There's the Dale Weiss one-and-done demotion. And We hardly knew ye, and the boogeyman has gotten headaches. Not only did he give us headaches, but he's getting headaches now from reports that we have from some of the Ranger Beat reports. So we got a lot to get to, and your phone calls. I feel like I've hijacked the hosting of the show. But the call-in number tonight is 646-478-4692. Jump in. And, you know, talk to me hitting Jimmy, and no big whoop.
Pretty much anything goes tonight. Take calls. And then Wednesday night is the big holiday spectacular, which will be a lot of fun. We're gonna have Rick Carpinello with us, the great one and only Rick Carpinello. From Rangers Report over there on Low HUD. So we'll have lots of boneheads in here with us. And Rick is, if you've never heard Rick before, he is a lot of fun. He has a good time with us and us with him. So looking forward to talking to him. We'll get that done. And then who knows what we'll talk about Wednesday night. I'm just going to throw this out there. We've got a quote-unquote fighter slash goon, whatever you want to call him, who is overpaid, and now he's got headaches and shoulder problems. Does this feel like deja vu to anybody else? the only difference is this one's white. Who's going to clear the crease? Who's going to protect Henrik?
I know, without him. And another thing that bugs me, like, They said that it was, you know, Feather said it was so integral to get a guy like this, of this ilk. But the Rangers do nothing to replace him. Like, I mean, you know, Dale East is a gritty guy. He's certainly he's not a heavyweight, and he's certainly got a lot more skill. But if we really needed this guy bad, why didn't we just, like, search the waiver wire and pick up some goon to take up the spot? So it really just shows you that, although sometimes the Bookman can be a real good asset, in the long haul, the goonery is... we saw the game against the Flyers. Well, I don't know how many of you have seen the game against the Flyers, but I did. I didn't see any need for the goonery. I was led to believe by several listeners of this show, the Islanders are stocking up. The Devils are stocking up. It's an arms race. Well, our guy's out with a headache. So, I don't know where that puts us. But, I mean, I can't get on Derek Bugan. I thought he's filled in pretty well. I mean, I think he's done a pretty good job for what he's worth. But I think they kind of overvalued that role in the signing. But it is what it is, as they say.
I'll tell you, there's one thing that concerns me about Dale Weiss.
What?
I think it's pretty obvious the guy has a drinking problem.
Ah, come on now.
All I could think of was Ted Stryker. I couldn't get over my drinking problem. If you didn't see the video, Dale Weiss, either he was pranked or he just got caught in an awkward moment with a bottle of Gatorade after the goal was waved off against Philly the other day, and the cap came flying off the Gatorade, and basically Gatorade just wound up going down his chin like a baby trying to drink out of a cup for the first time. So
I think Anisimov might have undone that cap. He looked like he had some kind of smirk on his face after.
Yeah, he did have a bit of a Cheshire grin in that video. Can we take a phone call right up at the top here? We have a regular listener who is traveling, and has requested that he get on early so that he could talk to us. Zach, good evening. How are you?
Hey Jim, how's it going?
Oh, you're on a Bluetooth, aren't you?
I am. I'm actually talking to you through my GPS.
Very nice. Are your windows rolled down?
My windows are rolled up, but I'm in like a really tiny tunnel right now. Give me just 1 second, and I'm clear.
Okay. Zach is traveling through the battery tunnel or
No, I'm actually headed north. I got to go pick up my brother in Westchester. He's coming home for softball today.
Oh, okay. So what's going on, Zach? You're here. We put you up first early in the show as requested.
Yeah, because I missed last Friday. I'm really upset. I looked at my watch and I was like, oh crap, it's 10:30. So I missed the show. But I have a lot to say. First off, going back to your rumors,
I heard
a third rumor from a reliable source that a trade is taking place. John Newman has traded his sweater to Bill Cosby. For a case of pudding.
God. That sweater was, that was so funny. There's the picture of Newman and the lovely Stacey Katz. And they, you know, they just look like Ozzy and Harriet, and they're Newman in his sweater. And I put a message on Stacy's Facebook. I said, Newman, Bill Cosby called. He wants his sweater back. And Miss Stacey Katz, she says, my parents bought him that sweater, and I think he looks very handsome in it. I'm like, come on.
Well, all I can think of. Would you pick handsome? Would you pick being handsome, or would you pick a case of pudding?
I wouldn't pick that sweater. That's all I know.
I haven't seen that sweater.
I wouldn't take the sweater. All I could think of was Andrew Dice Clay in The Day Till After Died Part 1. Who wears those sweaters? Bill Cosby don't wear those sweaters. Eva likes my Stacey impression. John, you better call in. They're making fun of you again, John.
Jim, I think you sound adorable.
Oh, thank you. So anyway, All right,
I got a few things on my mind. One of which, the Winter Classic. I got a couple of things to say about the Winter Classic. A couple of gripes.
This is Zach's airing of the grievances.
Yeah, the grievances. First off, in the front of the store, they have an entire table set up for the Winter Classic. Although for the past couple of weeks, it hasn't been Winter Classic. It's just been Crosby versus Ovechkin. So finally, we got a shipment of scarves. And all they wore were just penguin scarves. I tell my boss, why are the capital scarves? They prigged out a box, and I set the tape on to make it nice and neat, but instead of making it Crosby versus Ovechkin, I make it Penguins versus Capitals. I got the penguin scarf that says winner, the capital scarf that says classic. I put it together, my boss said beautiful. And then I find out the next day they nixed that idea. I get to the store, this is on Monday. On Friday, I get to the store, and it's just Penguins versus. No Capitals, just Penguins. It's atrocious. You got so many Penguin jerseys and barely any Capital jerseys. And mind you, they have a variety of Penguin jerseys and only the Ovechkin jerseys, and it's actually incorrect. The C is misplaced. And another thing, every time we get shipments, supposed to be Winter Classic, we only get a lot of Penguin stuff and barely, if we're lucky, any capital stuff. So that's really grinding my gears. And obviously, I don't like to win a classic, especially between these two teams, Penguins, Capitals, Ovechkin, Crosby. But let me tell you something. The way the NHL is treating this, it is offensive. I hate it a lot. It's supposed to like the sport. And I remember, what was it, Ricky O said on the Instigator Show, the Capitals are not a classic team. They are not considered to be an antique. So that's what I have to say about that. On a semi-lighter note on the Winter Classic, I was actually
I'm good with the Rangers,
don't worry. On a semi-related note, I was watching the Pisces.
You better hurry.
And they had Crosby and Ovechkin out there, and Jeremy Roenick, trying to give away tickets to the Winter Classic, and, well, the lady messed up on the pricing, so she didn't win.
Okay.
All right. That's what I have to say about the Winter Classic. Now, moving on to the Rangers.
Thank you.
You guys are talking about the Coyotes. Well, guess what? I got to meet Jason LaBarbera.
The LaBarbera of Seville.
Also got to meet the backup goalie. Jason LaBarbera is a lot of fun. He is funny. He and I were joking about the second goal, and I said, listen, all goalies always let that garbage goal in, just don't let it get to you. And he was a classy guy. Also got to meet Shane Doan, because all the Coyotes were at the store.
They were on the radio, they were on the website,
they were all over the place, but I got to meet them.
Were the Coyotes at the store to remind people that they're still in the NHL?
Yeah. And I was watching the post-interview on TV with Daly and Bettman. And I'll get back to Daly a little bit. But then with Bettman, I looked at one of my coworkers and said, hey, look, the Phoenix Coyotes are with the owner. Nobody got the joke. They all forgot that Bettman technically owns the team. Or at least the NHL owns the team. run by fat bitch.
What is this?
So I thought that was funny. And this
my
one, this one,
Mark,
can't go
back. What then? I mean, what?
Oh, come on. Don't give me that. I'm
I know
Robbie.
You're lonely on the road, but really? I mean, we're here for you, but...
The way you built this, the way you built, wait a minute. The way you built this up, and you're messaging me on Facebook, and send, and I'm gonna call in at the beginning of the show, and if I got all this build up, I figured this was gonna be your crowning moment of internet radio phone calls, and you're giving
me the Coyotes
and Capitals.
You want me to talk about the Capitals?
All right.
You want me to talk about Rangers and Capitals? Fine. All right. Last Sunday, when we beat the Capitals 7-0, everybody thinks they know why the Rangers won. Everybody thinks they know why we outscored 7-0, a touchdown and an extra point. It was not because of those good luck crap. I went to a metal concert the night before a Rammstein. And let me tell you something. To all you metal haters out there, or to Chris, you know who you are, Chris. Rammstein, energy, the fire, the passion. The orgasmic creation.
Costa just committed chat room suicide over this.
Let me tell you, that concert, it was amazing. It was epic. That won the game for the Rangers. That energy was still there. We carried that into Pittsburgh, and we kicked those Penguins' asses. We managed to come back and beat those Coyotes. Why did we lose to those Flyers? I don't know. That remains a mystery.
Because there was no Rammstein.
Exactly. But we went on a three-game winning streak because of that man. We outscored our opponents. I don't know, but we outscored our opponents. So all you haters out there, suck it.
You're saying that was it Rob Zombie played at the Garden?
No, Rammstein, German metal. All that fire.
Oh, that Nazi. Dunga, 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 dunga. Oh, my God. Every song sounds the same. Ridiculous. Metal
the drummer is Jewish.
I don't care what he is. I've heard every bit of his music is terrible. It's that techno metal garbage.
You can't appreciate metal like I can.
Huh.
Zach?
I don't know who you talk to.
Zach?
I'm pure metal.
Zach?
I love hockey. Well, let me tell you something. And you might be surprised by this. You might explore me off the station, at least for the night. But let me tell you something. I may love hockey, but I love music more. And the girl I marry is going to be about music, not hockey. I'll put hockey to her.
Zach?
Yeah?
You know we love you, right?
Yeah?
The chat room has spoken.
Yeah. You know what, Rob Zombie? Guess what, Rob? I liked you better when you were called Alice Cooper, doing the same shtick you were doing 40 years ago. Yeah. And that Rammstein, he sucks too. Tell me, I know more about metal than anybody. I was raised on heavy metal. Say?
I'll break out my Judas Priest, see?
Give him airtime for that? We won't care for our audience with that shit.
Don't make me go get out my Judas Priest, see?
Yeah, see?
Yeah. Yeah.
See?
Yeah, hey, see? Ralph. I'm not a number, see? I'm a free man, see? Free man.
I am down with DS9, though.
How are you?
How are you? I'm down with DS9!
Where were we?
I wanted to get to some of these rumors. Let's get to the rumors right off the bat.
All right.
Well, have you heard the Michael Delzato to Columbus rumor?
Yeah.
The Packers are interested in him. Do you think there's any way that has any validity? I'm going the nay route on that. I can't see, why would you get rid of a 20-year-old defenseman?
Well, honestly, we've heard this from a couple of people that have been on the show. These phone calls, these conversations, they take place all the time. And I'm sure it was just Columbus hey, we're looking for a defenseman. Is Delzato available? No. Why would I mean? Why would the Rangers even consider? How could they? I mean, after all the effort they've put into this brand, you know, whatever you want to call it, a brand new day. Why would they do that? It wouldn't make any sense from the Rangers' standpoint to bring back Fedor Tootin. I like Fedor Tootin. Don't get me wrong, but you're gonna trade a number one draft pick for the guy. You're gonna give up on him after a season and two and a half months of the NHL. You're gonna trade him to get Fedor Tootin back.
I think somebody just saw him get scratched one game and thought he was on the outs, and just didn't really put any thought into this room because, you know, he's 20, like you said, first round pick, 20 years old. It's, you know, Columbus. Who are they going to give us back that I would even say? And then who's going to fill Delzato's spot? You want to see Matt Gilroy fill his spot? Maybe you would see McDonough Valentenko being brought up.
We'd have to trade another young player to get Sanguinetti back. Oh, no, he's hurt. We can't bring him back either. We'll bring back Dmitry Kalinin.
That guy always terrible. So, I think we've squashed the validity on that rumor. I mean, that doesn't happen. That doesn't carry much weight.
In fairness to the rumor itself, at least the rumor itself got started, at least it would seem, in a reputable place, which was as far as I could tell, because what's funny is you posted the thing on Blue Shirt Banner about the show tonight, and you said something like, we'll talk about this, we'll talk about this, and the Michael Delzato trade rumor, and I went, what? What trade rumor? So I started researching it. It looks like it backtracks to the Edmonton Journal. So at least it was a newspaper, a reasonable facsimile thereof. Right. You know, it wasn't just, you know, and it's, you know, there's a lot of people out there that you know, try and make their way in this world by just making stuff up off the top of their head. But at least this came from the newspaper. The word is the Blue Jackets, who badly need offensive blue liners, inquired about former Rangers first-round draft D-man Michael Delzato. They might have been offering Fedor Tootin back to New York after they got Tootin for Nikolai Zhirdev. Delzato for...
Fedor Tootin? Is that what they're really talking about? I thought you were joking around.
Delzato for a defensive blue liner, Tootin probably wouldn't get it done. Now, if they threw in Nikita Filatov, too... He's asking the question. Columbus actually needs a shooter in the worst way on the power play. Have they called about Sheldon Soure? So that was the extent of the rumor.
I don't want Nikita Filatov. He's Sheridan's version two. He's a head case, that kid. No. They're out of their... They're off their beans.
Now,
doesn't make sense.
There were two other things real quick here. A couple of little race-related things. What's that?
Artyom Grodzhev. That's it. That's all I want. No more Russians.
Oh. You're anti-Russian?
I'm anti-Russian offensive-only player.
Oh, okay.
You can't play ball, and that's majority of all these guys. They're toe draggers. And I'm sick of those guys. I want two-way players on this team. I want, you know, a guy like Dale Weiss on the team, who's not sure. But I don't want any Russian... La-di-da players anymore. I've had enough. That's all they're churning out there in Russia now, is all these guys. The days that they used to turn out like Sergei Nemchinovs are over. Since the fall of communism, living all these la-di-da, toe-dragging Russians. Anyway.
Next week on the show, Vladimir Putin. In the same article with the thing about Delzato, again, this is from the Edmonton Journal. There were two Ranger related pieces that I thought were interesting here. Folks out here don't see Rangers winger Ryan Callahan much, but his loss to a broken hand is a crusher for New York. He may be their best player game in, game out. He played lots in the Olympics for Team USA, and he's a bulldog. He reminds me of a younger Jamie Langenbrunner. He's Captain Material for sure.
No, duh. This guy in Edmonton, he finally tuned into a Ranger games?
Well, I think he probably watches the Rangers quite a bit. I just thought it was interesting that he thought to mention it to his readers. And then here was something else interesting. Anybody want Senators defenseman Brian Lee, a healthy scratch for 25 games this season? Not the best first-round pick ever. Mind you, Tom Rennie, as good a judge of hockey horse flesh as there is, was in charge of the Rangers scouting when they took big forward Hugh Jessamyn, number 12, in 2003. Yep, that was me, said the Oilers coach. Jessamyn, now playing for the Blackhawks AHL Farm Club in Rockford, has never played an NHL game.
I don't even want to talk. Hugh Jessamyn, to me, it makes me ill when that name is mentioned. It's not even funny anymore. It's not even funny. So Rennie the apologist, thanks.
It's not funny. It's not fun.
It's not funny.
It's not fun.
Well, so you thought that was all my rumors?
No,
well, I got another one for you.
Oh, I know. Well, I know you've got more. You've got your ear to the ground, your nose to the grindstone. You're all over the Twitter. You're reaching out to your experts, your sauces, your man on the
my
street.
My shelf sauce, my barbecue sauces.
You are in the know. So what else you got?
I got Frolov may return to Russia. He is seriously considering offers from the KHL.
Goodbye.
Apparently, through this translation via Google Chrome, so we don't know if exactly this is what it is. But who's that girl you know with a guy you know that can translate Russian? We got to get him on this.
Laurie Carr from Beyond the Blue Shirts.
Yeah. According to this article, he has lost the trust of Coach John Tortorella. He's not satisfied with his position, and the small amount of game time he's been getting, and he's those earlier comments that where he kind of lashed out at Tortorella that were reported have him thinking that he can. Relocate to this team in Russia. I'm trying to get the name. Dasvidanyanchow. I don't know.
Miroslav Horshava United.
Yeah, Miroslav Horshava.
Vaclav Gadomansky.
I'll find it. But he can actually leave during the year. And I.
Goodbye.
And I think the only thing he needs to use is his international eligibility if he wants to play in the Olympics or something. So he can jump, apparently.
Goodbye. Salavat Yuliev Ufa. Ufa.
Is what
Dig Deep is reporting.
What is it? Salavat Yuliev?
Salavat Yuliev Ufa.
USA. Ufa of KHL. Of
Ufa.
The KHL. So that is the, so that would
Eric,
free up some cap space, though.
Eric wants to know, would he void his contract? I'll void his contract. Here's me with the rubber stamp.
I'll drive him to the airport.
Give him a bowl of borscht and send him on his way. Dasvidanya, as you just said.
Dasvidanya and ciao. Now listen, though. I want to bring up the devil's advocate here. He does get a lot of chances, Jim. I mean, it's only 35 games in. Is it beyond the realm that this guy turns it around? I mean, on the third line where he's playing now, is he that much of a liability? Was he, just cut bait with this guy, or what?
Frolov, no more of. Come on. What are we going to wait for? I mean, he's another one. You know, and this is not just you saying this, but you're here. So, maybe he needs Prosper to come back. Well, how much
how much pressure are we going to put on when Vinny Prospo comes back? He's got to save Gabrick. He's got to save Frolov. He's got to save the whales. He's got to cure this. He's got to, I mean, Vinny, who knows when he's coming back and what kind of shape he's going to be in. Get rid of him. Enough. Goodbye. Next. Fro rap. I like that. I've had enough. You know what? It's not about this year, so why keep him around? He's just taking up a spot. He's just taking up a spot.
I mean, don't you see him? He seems to be a little bit more involved lately. I mean, I know he's not going to be the 30-35 guy that we thought he was going to be. What's his stat?
Be lucky if he's the 5'10 guy.
I'm just wondering. Sometimes we cut bait a little too soon. I know last year we got burnt with Higgins and Kotelik. I mean, guys still have better second halves of the season. You know,
6 goals, 9 assists, and 15 points. Yeah, but you know what? It's not even just about his production. You know, this is the second time now there's been a story where he's bitching to Russia, and then, you know, and then the Beats will get a hold of it, and they'll go ask him, oh, I never said that. Well, why are they, I mean, of all people that they're going to make up stories about, if they're going to, why would they lie about Alex Frolov? It's enough. It's enough.
So should we report that these trades are true on Blue Shirt Banner and get everybody crazy again?
Well, it doesn't really matter. I've already voided his contract.
Oh, I didn't realize you had the power to do that. Oh, yeah.
I got lots of power.
You got a lot of jam up there at MSG. Somebody, no camera out for you.
Somebody said, I think Eva said I should play the gong for Alex Frolov. You know what? You talk about sometimes we give up on guys too soon, and I'm not saying we did. It just made me think of, can the Rangers please, as a team, and God knows I love them, and will love them till the day I die, can we stop giving up goals to guys we cast off, please? Can I not see the Nikolai Zverevs and the P.A. Parentos and whoever else? Can we just keep them from scoring against us? That was the hardest part of Saturday's game. That was the hardest part. Was having to see him score 2 goals.
Right. You touched upon the main sore point of that loss was Zverev with that nice goal, that second goal.
Yeah.
On that really nice shot. That's the part that got me the most. Is that, you know, here's a guy that Tortorella couldn't stand, couldn't wait to get, you know, boot him out the door, and then he scores 2 pretty goals against us and makes us look like Schmendrick. Now, he probably won't score for, you know, although he's got 11, 12 goals, whatever he's got. He may go on to be a 25, 30-goal scorer this year. If he gets the playing time, well, that could happen.
And with, four or five more games against the Rangers.
Yeah. Guy's got tremendous, you know, it's like Theo Fleury told us. He's got all the tools, but no toolbox. You know, and sometimes he puts it together.
He's got 13 goals and 2 assists.
Yeah, he's got Brian Boyle stats. And the thing with him is that, you know, Ranger fans cannot beat themselves about this because Tortorella wanted no part of him. He is totally not part of the Tortorella equation. Just, you know, for whatever reason. And now we have a different team with a different kind of look. But I wish we could find a couple goal scorers. Not so one-dimensional in Zverev, but, you know, a guy who can score and play a lick of defense or not disappear on every other night. So it's a tough decision. But the Rangers, I think, I was thinking about this afternoon, and I know it's way, way too early to be thinking about playoffs, but let's say, I'm looking at the division, I'm looking to make up a division. It looks like we got a pretty good shot if things continue in this fashion. And the Rangers are going under the radar here. They're not getting much talk about in the hockey world. They've and they play a gritty game. They play they're never out of it. They're very resilient, as your brilliant article last week proved. They've got a, when a goalie like Lundqvist gets hot, the only missing piece to me would be Gavrik being able to get you those goals, those two goals that you need when it comes when you rely on one guy. They need another guy who can put the puck in the net, a sniper of some sort. They would really have a good chance in the playoffs to maybe upset a couple teams. And I think the Rangers are kind of made for the playoffs if you think about it. They're not really made, you know. They're almost like the opposite of the Capitals. The Capitals, to me, are made for the regular season, you know, even though they've been struggling this year. At least the Rangers seem to have that, they've faced adversity. They can hang around for two periods and then, you know, have a big third period and win a game. So, even though it's early, I like the kind of makeup of the team, and I have a little faith that they may be able to make some noise in the playoffs.
Well, yeah, I said that the other night. They're the type, they're starting to look like the type of team that teams don't like to play in the playoffs. I just want to see where they're at when these other teams start catching up to them in games played. I mean, they've played 35 games. They got Tampa and Boston who are behind them. Have 4-3 games at hand on the Rangers. The Islanders have only, they should probably just end their season at 30 games. They've only played 30 games. The Rangers have played 35 games. There's only two other teams in the league, three other teams, that have played that many games. It's very strange.
Well, if I had to kind of console you about that, or maybe ease your fears about that, I think. I gotta check my brain because I'm gonna utter this string of words and sentences. That when we get around 60 to 80, when teams are tired and teams are realizing they may not make the playoffs or things have not worked out for them, when the Rangers come to play and do this grind, right now everybody's in it. I mean, Sans, the Islanders and the Devils. In Edmonton, nobody's going any, the Rangers will be able to take advantage of the lack of focus and effort other teams have if they can maintain this focus that they have. And I think you'll see the wins start to pile up a little bit even more. And maybe that will make the Rangers a little bit above the radar. But right now, nobody in the hockey world is talking about the Rangers, and guess what? That's the way I want it to be.
Oh, sure. Always rather be under the radar, nobody paying attention. Right now they're on pace for, just doing a little rough math in my head, I guess right around maybe low 90s in points. Right? Yeah, that's probably. Yeah. There were 41 points, 35 games. Yeah, it probably puts them on pace for right about 90, maybe 92 points this season. So, it's amazing to see. I'll tell you what, you look at the Eastern Conference standings and to see the Devils 14th and already 18 points out of a playoff spot. I mean, that's, it's like 1984,
Yeah.
I mean, the Islanders, that's nothing. That's not surprising.
No, they're not having 18. Devils in the playoff equation. That's a stunner.
Let me ask you a question. Would the Devils consider trading? Do you think they'd consider trading Brodeur? Second half of the season, already out of it.
What's
not
salary?
Going anywhere?
Does he have no movement? I don't know.
He might. Would he be that inclined to want to stick around?
What's his salary? How much does he make? I mean,
I'll have to go look. I'll have to look.
The only team I could ever see him going to, other than the Devils, would be the Canadiens. Canadians would love him. It's like that's the prodigal son returning home.
He's making 5.2 million.
How much?
5.2.
Yeah, he makes too much. I think they're they got rid of Halak because they couldn't keep. Yeah, I can't see him going anywhere. And how many years does he have left on his contract? I mean,
his contract's up the end of 2012, at the end of the 2011-12 season. So theoretically, if the Devils were going to trade him and could get a couple of young players back, and then if they had to take a bad salary back that would expire at the end of the year, you know, like an Olli Jokinen type guy,
right.
I don't know. So that the salary would balance out for them. You never know. Is he injured? Phoenix Rangers say he's injured. Is he injured? I thought he just played the other.
He was hurt. I don't think he's injured anymore. Yeah, I know the Habs have a red hot price, but you don't understand. He is like a god up there. I mean, he just has to wear the uniform. He could stand around and be the mascot. But I just don't see. I don't see that happening. But that's. That was some good conjecture on your point, on your part, because, you know, what said if they could take back a bad salary cap, but then who are you going to have play net? Freaking Hedberg? I mean, at this point, a defining blow door is better than Hedberg.
Well, then you go with one of your young goaltenders, and you still got Hedberg as a backup that can come in and, you know, play a couple of games. It's funny,
You take the Rangers. Fans, fun away, Jimmy. We want the declining the Marty the mascot.
I'm just asking a question. It's funny. I googled Martin Brodeur contract to try and see if I could find out if he does have a no movement clause, and an article came up from the Business Insider with the New Jersey Devils trade Martin Brodeur. It's actually from today. I did not see this until after I mentioned it, but. Hold on, let's see, bro. There is no longer among the NHL's elite goaltenders. There's no way anyone would be willing to trade the prospects and draft picks the Devils would require. I don't know. Maybe. What about a team like Washington?
Yeah.
I mean, look, I don't care if they trade him or not. I hope they keep him until he's 50. And he's just a fat old man, you know. He looks like me out there in goal. I'm just curious. A team like Washington, whose goaltending seems to always be their Achilles heel. You know.
I can't see it happening.
Okay.
I think that either it's pretty much Marty's the devil, and it's like the Derek Jeter thing.
D.B. Mavis says he has a no trade clause.
I just like the Derek Jeter thing, although Derek Jeter's play hasn't declined as much as Marty's had so far this year. But speaking about Marty's, how do you guys feel about these fans at the Garden chanting Marty when Biron plays well? I can't bring myself to chant that.
Yeah, I was sitting next to you the first time that chant came up, and you just kind of looked at me like, I can't believe they're doing this.
Claude said he's going to retire a stale devil dog. So, yeah, what do you think about it? Yeah, that's a hard for stomach. And I got a big stomach, so it's even harder for me. I mean,
I don't have a problem with it. Whatever. Look.
You don't have a problem with it?
I'd rather they be cheering a guy who plays for the team and who's there and who's current than a guy who played for another New York team who hasn't played in 30 years, who most of the fans don't even know why they're cheering about.
Are you talking about the Dennis Potvin chant?
No, I would never bring that up. Would you like to take a phone call, sir?
Yeah, I just want to acknowledge a very funny...
Oh, well.
Well, I want to acknowledge this funny quip that I'm going to steal The one and only Glenn Say, the Kovalbucks. Kovalbucks. Love it. Love it. I just said that again. You know, that's funny. Me and my friends had a discussion. When a guy says love it, is that kind of like not very masculine? Because don't women go love it?
Well, I think if you say it like that, then yeah, it's not masculine. Love it. Super.
Love
super.
It. How about?
Fabulous.
Those are definitely switching. But how about?
Very
Briere.
Yeah.
Oh. Very Briere. No, how about this one? Yummy. A guy should never say yummy. He's going yummy, yummy cupcakes. Right? Yummy, yummy cupcakes.
I remember you and I were having a conversation on Facebook a long time, over a year ago. We hadn't even partnered up for the show yet, and you said that to me. Guys should never say the word yummy. And it was like completely random when you said it. So I figured that somebody in the room, you must have had somebody over your house or something that just said it or something. I don't know.
Yeah, we rehashed it. Yes, yummy and yay. Like, yay. You see this on Facebook. People type yay with an exclamation
yay.
Point. Well,
oh,
when
I
you
do
say
that.
It like that, which is
yay.
Like, you know,
what about that? Yay. I've got mail. Yay.
Yes. From the, what you call it, show.
Crank Anchors.
Crank Anchors. But
Jim Florentine.
Yay! Yay!
Hooray! Yay!
Yay!
I've got mail! I've got mail! Yay!
Is that football helmet up?
Man, there was about a 6-month period where I could just not get that out of my head. And it would just go on all day long. It's like the George Takei thing, Takei that you and I talk about. Once you start doing that voice, you can't stop. Oh, my. Yes. So good evening and welcome to Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Oh, my. Yes. Do you? But it was like a 6-month period where I just could not. You'd be sitting in a car driving along, and all of a sudden I'd go, yay, I've got mail. Yay. Bread makes me poop. Anyway, where were we?
Oh, I'm doing the yummy yay and love it.
Super.
It's my birthday, yay.
Bobby Nice and the Scrotums. They do the Pot Van Sucks song. It's on YouTube. Costa mentioned Bobby Nice and the Scrotums, and that's how I know who they are.
He played it for me on his CD. He's got a CD with all kinds of Ranger songs. What about, now let's talk a little bit about the Dale Weiss situation. I mean, I'm a little disheartened to see Dale get sent down after one game. I thought he played a very good game, and he looks like he fit in very well. And, I don't get it. I really don't understand. Did they need him back in Hartford? I mean, did we miss Todd White? You know, especially with Bugard getting hurt. Don't they need another body? You think maybe he'll be called up tomorrow? What's the scoop?
Well, I didn't look at Hartford's schedule, but from what I heard, they had two games. They have two games in the gap between the Rangers-Flyers game and the Rangers-Lightning game. So I'm wondering if, you know, there's some thought that maybe they just send him back so he could play a couple of games and they'll bring him back. But and now with Bugard out, you know, they're going to need somebody up there. So I bring him back. I like them. Maybe they send him down because he's got a drinking problem. We had him on, right? Was it him or Dane Byers we had on the show?
Dale Weiss was on this program. Wait.
Okay.
Yeah, Dale Weiss was on, yes.
He was was Dale Weiss the guy when we interviewed him? We wound up like getting into a whole wrestling thing. Was that him or was that Devin Didiomedes?
Devin. Devin Didiomedes.
Oh, okay.
Didiomedes.
Okay.
Reunity on Ice.
We interviewed Weiss. I think that was back in January or February. I'd have to go back through our archives, but I seem to remember we had a lot of fun with him. He was a pretty engaging kid, you know. like Werrick, Ethan Werrick. He was a lot of fun to talk to as well.
Oh, yeah. The captain of the Frontenacs now. What are they, Kingston Frontenacs? Something like that.
Yes. Yeah. Kingston. Oh, he's the captain. Very nice. Yeah. Good. Good.
I think we have another draft pick who's playing up there with him, a defenseman. I like. We've got to try to get in touch with Ethan. Ethan, maybe the powers that be have not gotten to him yet. And maybe we can sneak him on. But, you know, he was a good interview. A lot of those young guys. And I don't know how many of you have seen it. Jim, have you caught it yet, the 24/7 Penguins Capitals thing yet?
No. Like I told you last night, I was just kind of boycotting the thing. But then you had such good things to say about it that I'll look for it. I'll see if it's on demand. And I'll sit and watch it at some point.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I like to see what goes behind, you know, closed doors. And it really it had me yearning to see 24/7 for the Rangers to see what everybody's like. Because the Penguins, you know, as much as I hate their guts and, I you know, when we're playing each other, I wish ill will on Sidney Crosby and the rest of them. But when you see them behind the scenes and joking around and pulling pranks on people, like, wow, this team is, you know, some pretty cool guys. And it got so bad, though, I had to ban my wife from watching it because she actually felt empathy for the Capitals when they lost the game. And I said, no more. We have to shut this off.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, you can't. They can't have that.
No, that's unacceptable.
So, I think it's very good. I encourage everybody who's listening to the broadcast or watching on TV at home to, two chat room guys are going to be saying yummy and yay.
Yay! Yay! Ricky O is in the chat room.
Broadcast.
Good evening,
you know,
Ricky.
I love it. Ricky O, well, the great Ricky O is now
great
in the
Ricky
chat.
Great Ricky O. Missed it the last couple of weeks.
I say, watch the program. You get to see a lot of funny things. These guys, man, they live the lifestyle. You get these charter airplanes. They're playing their games. And you forget how old these guys are. They're like, you know, Crosby's 23. And he's playing like Call of Duty with, you know, Andre Fleury and Maxim Talbot. And they're sitting there just like, you know, Young guys just razzing each other, calling each other douchebags. Great. I mean, I was like, this is great.
We're not the only ones who call Sidney Crosby a douchebag?
Oh, yeah. His players call him a douchebag.
See? We're not saying anything his own teammates don't say.
I know it makes him look stupider with that mustache, but I just can't stand looking at that mustache.
Pubes.
Yeah, so.
Pube lips. I got in trouble. I forgot to tell you this. I got in trouble last week. Well, I didn't get in trouble, but a couple of people took exception. When I was writing a recap for the Pittsburgh game, and I was writing, I sit and watch the game, and I just kind of jot down a few notes, and then when the game's over, I kind of put it all into a recap and post it up. And in my notes, I wrote something about Crosby, maybe getting the assist on that goal the Penguins scored or something, and I put Bitch Lips had the assist on the goal, which kept his point scoring streak going. Right, Bitch Lips, I called him. It's kind of a cute. It's a pet name we have for him here in the Schmiedeberg household, and I accidentally did not change that paragraph. The paragraph as I wrote it was fine, except for the word bitch lips, and I just copied and pasted it in my recap. So my recap reads, bitch lips got the assist, extending his port scoring streak. A couple of people were like, bitch lips, is that the best you could do? It's kind of childish, isn't it? I'm like, oh, it's a pet name. Look, and I said, and I still say, I've seen him called worse by members of the media, of which I am not. So... But Puke Face Bitch Lips was a nice nickname, I thought.
I like that.
But, you know, it could now, have two meanings because he's always bitching at the referees. He's got those big flapping platypus lips. So, you know, if bitch lips didn't, you know, whatever. So I changed it. I didn't want to hurt anybody's feelings.
Jumping from bitch lips. You know what I wanted to... I was thinking about this, but I have no idea when this is happening, you know, who's involved. What about the junior tournament? When is that going to take place, the World Juniors in Buffalo? Does anybody know when that's going to happen? Would it be worth me going there and checking out? I know the U.S. team has been announced, but the Canadian team hasn't been announced, right?
I don't think so.
Yeah, somebody can post me a link.
I'm looking right now. Buffalo World Juniors.
I'd be up for a road trip to the World Juniors. You know, if I can get some people going.
They start the day after Christmas. Oh, they have named the Canadian team. Zach Kassian is going to be on the Canadian team.
Yeah, who's on the Canadian team?
Hold on. Let me pull the roster up. It'd be great if they had the roster. Let's see. Ryan Ellis, Jared Cowan, Calvin DeHaan, Braden Shen. Don't they have the roster? Oh, here we go. Here it is. I had to find a link for it. Sorry. Not the greatest website. Oliver.
NHL Network will be showing this. Quick release is saying. Oh, well, that then I may not have to leave the house. Go ahead.
Well, they showed them last year, didn't they? Seem to remember.
Yes.
I know I watched the finals game.
They
Carter Ashton, Louis LeBlanc, who was the star of the 2009 draft in Montreal. Zach Kassian, Ryan Ellis, Eric Gudbrandsson, Dylan Olsen, Simon Dupre, Jared Cowan, Marcus Foligno. Those are the names I recognize.
No
Curtis
range of,
Hamilton.
What range of prospects? U.S. has got to have a couple.
I don't see any. Kreider, yeah, I know he's on the team. Let me go back to... let's see. How did I wind up in there? All right. Hold on. Buffalo Juniors teams.
Dummy.
This website's terrible. Who put this thing together? My goodness. It's awful. It's terrible. I can't pull the USA roster up. There's like a pop-up that prevents it.
Ryan Bork. You know, I'm starting to think Ryan Bork may not see the light of day as a Ranger. I don't know.
Well, I don't know. We're certainly not hearing a whole lot about him. I can't pull this up.
Sweden, we got him. He's for Sweden, he's a Ranger prospect. Callie Owens, 24. Only three prospects?
There we go. Let's see.
Mick McElrath didn't make the U.S. team? The Canada team, wherever he's from? What happened?
Now, here's a website. The guy's got pictures of it, but he doesn't have the roster.
Jerry Mathers as the Beaver? Has made it? Ward Bond? Not Ward Bond. What was that guy? His name is Ward in the show, but I forget his name.
Hugh Beaumont,
that's right. Yeah. God.
All right, hold on. Right, let's see. Maybe this website will have the roster.
Roman
U.S.
Horace
roster.
Roman
Jack Campbell, Derek Forbert, Philip Samuelson, Ryan Bork, Mitch Callahan. Emerson Edom, Kyle Palmieri, Jason Zucker, Chris Kreider, there he is.
Yeah, the freak.
I'll tell you what, they got a picture of him here on the USA World, the USA website, and just looking at the picture, just like thinking about comparing it to when I was at the draft last year. You can see it. He's matured. You know what I mean? To use the Matt Gilroy term, he's growing into his body. You can just see how much older and more mature he looks in just a year and a half. What is he now? He's 19, coming up on he's going to be 20 in April.
Yeah. I got a feeling that this Bork might be a toe dragon. So I'm a little worried about him. I want no toe dragon. I want knuckle dragon tough guys.
Like Bugard.
Don't get headaches after the 20 games.
Ryan Bork, I've never seen a picture of Ryan Bork where he didn't look like he just rolled out of bed.
I'm telling you, the guy is...
He's 5'9".
Shorter than me. He's 5'9". Shorter than me. Oh, he's 5'9". Elevator
and,
Master
Bork will celebrate his 20th birthday on a week from Monday. So happy birthday to Ryan Bork.
Yeah, happy birthday, Ryan. Also, some of the other chatters, I think it's RCDXX93, has said that Jesper Fast is going to play for Sweden, and Roman Horik is going to play for the Czechs in the World Juniors. So we've got a lot of guys to look out for. And the juniors, I'm telling you, last year was great. U.S. Winning and beating Canada. And if you look at that Canada team, it was stocked with Hall and Sagan and Cam Fowler. Although, I don't know, was Cam Fowler a U.S. guy? I don't know. I lose track of all this stuff. But, it's going to be funny. It's interesting to see who will emerge out of the midgets, whether it's Bork, Kristen Thomas, like Tessier or Ryan Bork?
Yes.
I don't know if I have it. Or MZA. Who will be the midget that makes it? It should be a new reality show. The midget who makes it. And whether, and another thing, and I know this is going to upset Ricky, but, the Cam Fowler until McElrath, and everything's been, positive about McElrath. So, but, as Ranger fans, we want that immediate gratification. Time will tell whether the Dylan McElrath selection was, genius or folly. And it'll really depend on Dylan, so far, so good. And I'm with Gordy till he screws me. When Gordy Clark makes a dumb pick and screws me on a pick like this, where they was a no-brainer for them, they had his jersey all prepared, like you said, you were there live. There was no other choice. If they would have picked him third, they would have picked Dylan McElrath. So,
and we had talked about a couple weeks ago, McElrath had gotten hurt, and he did miss 6 games with a knee injury, but he's back. He's back with the Moose Jaw Warriors. So that's good to see that he's healthy again.
We got that going. And so it's going to be hockey abound Christmas. And, you got the Winter Classic, which you were talking about. And, the Winter Classic would be useless for the Rangers in any of their metro. The game between the metro area composition, so to speak, would be useless. Let's think about it, Jim. How many Islander fans would show? First of all, only about 50 of them anyway. And then, they played the Devils, it would be like 95% Ranger fans, no matter what team they played.
Right.
If it was held in New York.
They're going to have to, I also think from a TV rating standpoint, they're going to have to, if the Rangers are going to play in it, if it's going to be next year, let's say they decide they want to put the Rangers in, they're going to have to play the Canadiens or the Maple Leafs. And I don't even care if it's in New York. Play it up in Canada. I don't care. I mean, it'd be nice if it's in New York, if it's at Yankee Stadium or Citi Field or the new Meadowlands. But I just want to see the Rangers in it. I'd like to see them play the Canadiens or the Maple Leafs.
I know. I would like to see Montreal. That would be good because I would try. Montreal's a great party city.
Oh yeah.
Have all those Ranger fans in there. Oh boy. Where could they play in Montreal? Jerry Park? Is Jerry Park still up?
I doubt it. No, I guess they'd have to play in Olympic Stadium.
Is that still up?
Oh yeah. I got pictures of it.
Ah.
Took pictures. Yeah, it's still there. I would assume the Montreal Alouettes of the CFL play there.
Yeah, maybe Cutter knows if that's still up. You know, I wanted to also say I will only go to that if the Grand Alarage drops the puck into their ice. Rusty Staub. Drop the puck for that Bachelor Classic. The Grand Alarage. Yeah, they should call that guy Grand Fag.
Picking on Rusty Staub.
Rusty annoyed me. You know why Rusty annoyed me? Because he would say two different names differently. He would say Howard Johnson, and then when he talked about the manager, he would say Davey Johnson. I didn't understand that. It's two Johnsons. Why are you saying Howard Johnson and Davey Johnson? And then he talked about his ribs and the whole thing. It was a whole... So the Alouettes, apparently, Connor says they're playing at Molson Stadium on the campus of McGill.
And they only use Olympic Stadium for one regular season game and the playoffs. Okay, so Molson Stadium, though, while that's maybe your more obvious choice because that's who owns the Canadiens, right? Molson own them again? Then they buy back the controlling interest in Les Habitants. So play it there. I don't care. Play it. I would rather it be played where the best possibility of it being cold and snowing.
Right. And like 120,000 people showing up.
Right.
Set an out record. They got to do it big. New York is big. Montreal, debatably, is the biggest Canadian, the biggest hockey city. I mean, you know, you go Toronto, Detroit, but still, they are fanatical there. The press in Canada, maybe the press in New York being involved, the press in the U.S. would actually spill over here. So, you know, in the United States press, and they set a record. Although, when I see the arena, the stadium games, it doesn't look like it would be very hard to see. Like just to watch it
in the snow?
Like just viewing the game, like if you're at the game, like they seem like they're so like far back from the play. Like how could you watch the game? I mean, you'd probably be drunk out of your mind and just cheering and bonding with all other people. You wouldn't even really care what happened on the ice. But it seems like from a vantage point, it would be a little bit of a struggle.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's more about the event than the game. See, like Ricky said, Rangers versus Leafs at the Sky Dome. That would be great. As long as the roof's open.
Yeah, they're calling that something else too now. But yeah, that would
Rogers,
be good, right? The Leafs at the Sky Dome?
It's the Rogers Sky Dome or something, isn't it? Rogers Net Sky Dome? Something like that.
Yeah.
Rangers versus Ducks in Mexico City. There you go. That's a game. Rangers Coyotes in Flagstaff, Arizona.
Oh, that's a barn burner. Wait. Cutter's telling me he can never say never in this world. 113,000 people? I don't know, buddy. You'll see.
The world record attendance can never be that new stadium in Dallas could hold that many people. I think that gets 105,000 for football. Put another 10,000.
Jerry Jones will do it.
And Jerry Jones would find a way to put another 10,000 seats in there just to break that record.
You got to know him. Yeah. They do everything big in Texas, especially lose.
And Ricky brings up, I forgot about that. The Rangers played an outdoor game in Vegas against the Kings.
Many years ago.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
They throw that up on MSG once in a while. That game.
Oh, do they?
Yeah. It's Willie Uber, some Willie Uber footage of that one.
Rest in peace.
I may rest in peace. So, what else, Don? Do we got calls? What do we got here?
No, you guys want to call in 646-478-4692. Don't forget, we'll be back Wednesday night at 8 o'clock for the Holiday Spectacular with the great Rick Carpinello from Rangers Report on Low HUD. He'll be with us. Always entertaining. We have to pull the as many Seinfeld clips as we can for Rick. So it'll be a festivus celebration with Rick, and we'll have the Boneheads here. They always pop in. So that should be a fun night.
I mistaked on that Willie Uber thing. That was against the U.S. Olympic team, I'm thinking about. The Rangers played the USA team somewhere. So one of the only greatest Glenn say that says Rangers Coyotes at Area 51.
There you go. The only problem is you can't have any fans there because you can't tell them where it is.
All right, so what else we got on the docket?
Yeah. Oh, I just want your friend Uncle Bobby has joined us in the chat room. Uncle Bobby.
Very good. Uncle Bobby knows nothing about hockey from the New Jersey area, and you're not to be a Devil fan here. You must be a New York Ranger fan to attend, Uncle Bobby. So you're making your transformation into Ranger fandom as we speak. Uncle Bobby from the Uncle Bobby Show.
Not to be confused with the Uncle Floyd Show.
Well, the Uncle Floyd Show, which was awesome back in the day. And Floyd Favino still doing many gigs around the New York, New Jersey area. He must be getting older. So anyway, what else? What else we got? I sound like Howard. What else we got?
We have a call.
Oh, hey, oh.
Oh, we have a Skype call. Welcome to Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Who's this?
This is Looney Skip Rooney from the Uncle Floyd Show.
Looney Skip Rooney.
How you doing, guys?
Looney Skip Rooney. Paul, Looney I didn't Skip tell you Rooney. Were a Floydian.
Oh, come on. I haven't seen him in a few years, but I last saw him about 4 years ago. I haven't recently had time, but one of my all-time favorite shows.
You know, I think Muggsy from that show, I think he's passed, hasn't he? I think he might be dead, Muggsy.
Hmm. Muggsy Kalam? Craig Muggsy Kalam?
Netto, you know, the whole crew. It was great. It was a great show.
I love that show. And as a kid, I think I was a little bit older, but some of my younger friends used to send in, like, you know, he used to put the, if you sent in your drawings, he put them up on the wall. And they used to do that.
Oh, yeah.
That was a great show. Maybe we can have him on.
That'd be fun. What very famous movie did Floyd Favino star in? Well, have a bit role in.
I'm gonna guess Rock and Roll High School.
Wrong, Paul. Do you know the answer?
No.
He was in Good Morning Vietnam.
Really?
He was the if I remember correctly, he's the guy that does the overnight shift, and he's on the air when Robin Williams makes his first appearance. He comes running in and he's late. He wakes up late. I think Uncle Floyd Favino is the guy who's on the air at the time.
Yeah, it is. I remember. Yeah,
Eddie Kirk. Eddie Kirk was his character's name in Good Morning Vietnam. I'm looking it up. He wasn't not Dan the Man Levitan.
So I got a chance to watch the game with Paul, the shootout victory against Phoenix. Me and Paul watched the game, and Paul, we had a crazy experience. There was a lot of weird things were going down that day.
Well, there was a great thing happening in front of us. Do you remember that, when the Rangers scored?
Yeah. Every time when the Rangers did score, there were these two, you know, lovely, nubile young ladies.
Hot.
When they
hot.
Go, what? Yes,
hot,
they were hot.
Hot ladies.
Hot ladies. And they would have this loving embrace when the Rangers scored.
Oh, my.
It would last kind of like, you know, an awkward amount of time. It wasn't like,
there's
yay,
no such thing.
Yummy! They'd grab and then break. They were embracing. And me and Paul weren't even looking at the scoreboard or anything. We were just fixated on these girls, like, So it was fantastic. And unfortunately, we had moved for the third period. Call us crazy. And,
well, we moved with those two swinging chicks, Eva and Jackie.
Yeah.
So,
did you move to be closer to Mandar or further away from Mandar?
We were close to Mandar.
Yeah, Mandar was going on and on about every little play and calling Michael Delzato, Michael Del Turnover, and just like he was coaching out there. You're backing in too much. Like, shut up, Mandar. But Mandar was good. But it was good. But imagine what they would have done, Paul, when Christensen got that goal in the shootout. I bet you they fully made out up there, and we missed it.
I hope not. Well, I was nervous because the two guys in front of them at the end of the period, the two muscleheads, and they said, yo, man, let's start a brawl.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, that was a good section.
Yeah, it's a fun section, my section. It is. We have a lot of fun up there.
And there was a guy, remember the Coyote fan who was wearing the sweater? And the guy says, we don't wear gay sweaters like that here in New York. Sit down, you fag.
Newman does.
Newman does, though.
Newman does.
There were Coyote fans in your section. I don't get that either.
Yeah, that was tough, but... it was just a few. They were scattered in there. It happened.
I didn't even think there would be that many. I thought it was
make the trip to New York for the holidays, go to the game, see the tree.
Yeah.
The whole bit.
I guess you could convince your wife that way, you know. We'll go to Rockefeller Center. It'll be a very, you know, romantic. Oh, by the way, we're going to see the Rangers and Coyotes at the Garden too.
Right, and I'm going to leave you at Lindy's when I do it.
So now, you know, you are a big John Tortorella detractor, and you even did. You still got that Tortorella sucks mentality. Have you turned around any bit? I mean.
Well, I think I said this early in the season. Well, I mean, it's still not even at the halfway point. But I said this year, though, it just seems to be the atmosphere on the team. It just seems to be a relaxed atmosphere. He hasn't made it uptight. They just seem to be relaxed, and they're able to go out there and play. Listen, I'm still not crazy about the guy. But you know what? Up to this point now, they haven't really done bad this year. I mean, we had some injuries, and they really, you know, I mean, they've played well. Even though Henrik really hasn't played, you know, well, he's had some, you know, some games I'm sure he'd like to have back. But he's done okay so far, Tortorella. So I definitely have to give him that.
Now, you know, and I know that your wife hates Tortorella. Is she giving a bit of any slack yet or nothing?
Well, she hasn't been to a game since before when she was last to a game when Rennie was coach. So she's boycotting and Tortorella is gone. So.
Yeah.
So
wow.
Nothing like a woman scorned. You know, taking it to the grave. Now, I wanted to ask you, and I didn't get a chance to listen to it. Did you listen to the Mark Roseman broadcast with Eddie Johnstone yet?
Yes.
Can you fill us in? I missed it. Did you hear any, Jim, did you hear about this?
No.
All right. Paul, can you fill us in on what's going on with Eddie, the real Eddie Johnstone?
Well, Eddie, unfortunately, his health hasn't been great. He's had a couple strokes, and he was on a show last night, and another internet show, and basically they had Eddie and a few other players on, former players, and the they talked about really how a lot of the retired players are really suffering from a lack of medical coverage. The pensions were bad, and EJ, Eddie Johnstone's an example. He shells out tremendous money in medical costs. His pension is not, is very small. He thinks he was, I don't want to use the term blackballed. That's really not the right word, but he needed X amount more games when he was with Detroit to qualify for a bigger pension, and they sent him down to, I believe, Adirondack was there. Minor league team,
right? Yeah.
And they just feel they've gotten no help from either the NHL, the NHL Alumni Association, which is run by Mark Napier, which I didn't even know till last night, who was the president of it. And they're very bitter at him, Kotze, and a few other players. Former player Kurt Walker, because they feel he only takes care of the Montreal clique, so to speak.
Right.
And Eddie,
he's got his buddies, and he takes care of his buddies, but if you're not in with him and
exactly.
his crowd. Right.
But Eddie is, he said he's doing well considering the strokes, but he's had two, and I think he even had a third one. And he said, he's had a problem with his knees, and he's just, really wearing down at a young age. He's a young man. I believe he's 56 now, he said. And that was pretty much the overview of the show last night.
Wow. Three strokes at 56.
He was on Sports Talk New York, I think it's called, or something.
Yes.
Mark Rosenman, right?
Yes. Mark actually is my neighbor in the garden. He's over in Section 304.
Yeah.
And Mark had reached out and tracked Eddie down and had him on last night along with Kotze and a few other players. Kurt Walker, who played, I think, about 70 games in the NHL in the 70s, early 80s. He was a heavyweight. He was around the Schultz and Stan Jonathan era.
It's amazing that those guys have suffered so much. And we'll do a special show on with them, and I know... could really get to the nitty gritty. I know these guys want to say. Sometimes they're actually finally speaking out. I mean, even it hasn't gotten to mainstream radio yet, but these guys are very upset about how they were let down by the Alumni Association and the National Hockey League as far as their pensions go and their health care go. And when you think about it, hockey players are guys who play that amount of games, there aren't really a lot of them, as many as you think there are. It's not like it's football or baseball or someone, how many players have come through the ranks. And they really should have some kind of comprehensive health care for those guys. But they kind of molded the league and now the NHL. And let's face it, the NHL without a TV contract is not really that fiscally sound in a lot of areas. So... at least the NFL, you could say, well, their money is there, and those NFL guys who had concussions and lifelong injuries and stuff like that, there is some money to get from these guys. But I'm sure they could have some charity events or something to get some money to these guys, because they help mold the league. I mean, you're talking about guys like Eddie Johnstone, and you don't have to say between us three. This guy would go through the boards for you. I mean, he fought. He fought all comers. He fought guys twice his size. The checking, the hitting, the scoring. I mean, this guy was, he was our Ryan Callahan. And in an era where it wasn't just, your middleweight would go with another middleweight. He was a guy who was, he wasn't even a middleweight. I mean, he fought heavyweights. I mean, he fought tough guys, and he was a Ranger through and through, and you just hate to see this happen to these guys. I mean, I'd like to get them on one day and really just have them name names and say, who the hell is was really behind all this nonsense. So
it's terrible. But Eddie, I think you like my jersey, my Eddie Johnstone jersey that I wore the other night. I've been modeling it the last couple games, and
I saw pictures of it. It's beautiful, Paul.
Yeah, someone had stopped me too the other night when I had met Eddie in the cafe. I was with Eddie and who else was there? Eddie Mandor and Jackie came in and Marcy was there and a guy tapped me and he goes, "Bro, that's a great jersey." He says, "I haven't seen one in over 25 years," and made me feel good.
And I can tell that Paul is legitimately like an Eddie Johnstone fan because when somebody said, "You know, that's a really nice jersey," his face lit up like a little kid. He was like, you know, I did Eddie proud, and I got the jersey now. It's awesome. It was just really cool. DP may even just brought up maybe the proceeds of the Winter Classic ought to go to those former players into a fund. How about that?
That's a great idea. It's too good an idea. That's the problem. And, you know, you talk about Eddie Johnstone, how he took on everybody, and he was a small guy. What was he, 5'9", and he was he could score a goal, too. I think he had 30 goals a couple of times.
Yeah, two seasons.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and he kind of fizzled out pretty fast after he got traded to Detroit. He did not last long, and he never really regained. I really feel like it's almost like it broke, you know, this is me romanticizing, but almost like he had broken his heart that he had gotten traded away from New York. I don't know.
Well, plus in those days, a lot of guys fizzled out in Detroit.
Yeah.
You know, they were bad in those days.
Detroit was the place where you went to, you know, your career was over. Sorry, Kotze. Kotze went there too at the end of his career too. He got sent down too as well, I think. That's interesting. I'm gonna have to listen to that show. Man, hopefully we get Eddie Johnstone on, and we could talk about him in the battles with Dave Hoyta and
Howard. He fought Howard a few times, and another big guy, Willie Plett, he had run into too when he was at the Rangers. And you know, Plett in those days was probably one of the biggest guys in the league. He was a monster in the 70s, early 80s. Weren't too many guys bigger than him.
And Johnson was always the guy. Yeah, Johnson was always the guy trying to get Billy Smith too. He's like, I remember Gordon one time, he's like, "Oh, Eddie Johnson just wishes his arms were a little bit longer. One day that Smith's going to cause a murder out there." Gordon's totally making a totally dramatic thing of it. "He's going to cause a murder out there."
Murder.
So, it'll be good to get him on, and hopefully that'll come to fruition. All right,
guys. Just before I leave, I just want to mention, too, Eddie had one of the best lines the other night when they went to a shootout, when Derek Stefan went in. You know, I think he was the second shooter. He went in and missed, and the mouth screamed out, "Don't worry, Derek, I still love your mom." And the guys in front of me and a girl roared. They turned around, and I thought that was one of the best lines of the night.
That's great.
But, guys, I just want to wish you a very Merry Christmas, both of you, if I don't speak to you.
You
and
too,
everyone,
Paul.
Everybody out there in the chat room, I know there's some of the regulars I don't see tonight, but I'll speak to them this week, either, you know, text or Facebook. And
They're all irregulars.
What's that?
They're all a little irregular.
That's true. But, guys, Merry Christmas to you and your families, and I'll speak to you in a week or so.
Thanks, Paul. Take care.
Okay, guys. Take care. Take care, Mal.
Take care, man.
Bye.
And the funny thing about that, you know, Paul talks about my love for Derek Stepan's mom. He's, like, telling me, you know what I like about her? In that Minnesota Wild game, she was drinking beers up there and partying. She's a party girl, too. I like that. Me and him are sitting there. Like we have a chance with, first of all, two married guys, like, courting this hockey milf.
Right.
We never even compete, but we're she parties too, man. I like her. That's when we're back in high school again, you know. Talking about the girl we're never going to get, like, your two buddies. And, oh, yeah. So it was pretty funny. So.
just a quick scoring update. The Bears are beating the Vikings 10-7 in the second quarter. And from what I've been told, Brett Favre is playing, blue hand and all. So, in case anybody cares, as far as the NHL goes, you guys just saw in the chat room, Pittsburgh beating Phoenix 6-1. Anaheim's on top of Boston 3-0. Tampa Bay is beating Carolina 5-1 in late in the midway through the third period. Vancouver over St. Louis 2-0 in the second. And Calgary and Minnesota are tied 1-1 coming towards the end of the second period. So
Panthers beat the Flyers here?
That's what. Oh, yes. I'm sorry. Here's the finals. Florida beat the Flyers 5-0. And
wow.
Atlanta beat Toronto 6-3. So there you have it. That's the scores. We'll get to the weather and traffic in just a minute. And let me say congratulations to your Jets. I really thought they were done after losing.
In the rest of the world.
I'm admitting it. I'm being gracious. I really thought they were done after they lost to who they lose to? The Dolphins, right, last week?
Dolphins and the Patriots.
Yeah. Well, I know they lost to the Patriots, but after they lost to the Dolphins, I really thought they were headed for Tank City. And congratulations. Not a, and you know, tough team to beat on the road. No doubt about it.
I gotta say, you're very gracious considering the way your team lost. That is you are a big man for doing that.
I'm a big man no matter what I do.
Yeah, but I know, but you are. You're a man of just quality. And for you to, because I watched the whole game, but then me and my wife went out where they had the game on, and there were a bunch of surly Giant fans who were openly rooting against the Jets at the place. It's football.
As far as the Giants are concerned, you know, we were talking about, I was on Big Blue View today. We were talking about it, and one of the guys who's a regular, I made the comment on Big Blue View today, that in the second half, Tom Coughlin coached. He didn't coach to win. He coached not to lose, and that will lose every time. That's right out of the Jim Fossil coaching handbook. Jim Fossil, I always said that. He coached not to lose. I saw the minute the second half started, you could just see the Giants had gone into a shell. They weren't attacking on defense anymore. And it, slowly but surely, it all started to turn around. They deserved to lose that game. And Coughlin is an absolute buffoon. He is a buffoon. And I'm sick of time, you know. And you know what? Giant fans are just like Ranger fans. I keep hearing it over and over. Well, you know, it's all right. Remember 2007. It's not 2007 anymore. Let go of 2007. 2007's over. 2007 ended the minute Plaxico shot himself in the leg. It's over. This isn't 2007. It's 2010. And Coughlin got out-coached yesterday. And then for him to stand there in the middle of the field with the cameras on him, screaming at that punter who... It's not his fault. To blame that game on the punter is like a Ranger fan blaming all of last season's problems on Opa Jokinen.
Jim.
Never should have come to it. Never should have come to it.
I understand that. But Matt Dodge, that play happened. That was a brain fart by that punter that could have absolved all of Coughlin's sins. And that guy... I mean, it looked like sabotage.
Sabotage?
How do you kick? Now, I know this is a hockey program, but we got some time to kill. How do you kick to DeSean Jackson? It's not even like you're kicking to, you know, Phil McConkey out there. You're kicking to freaking DeSean Jackson. The guy is one of the most dangerous. And listen, I want to kill DeSean Jackson because I hate his freaking... Did you see that stuff he did around the goal line there? I mean, why did that guy give up on the Giants on him? He could have hit him again when he came back towards the goal line. But anyway, how do you kick to DeSean Jackson? You got to be an idiot. Even I know you know, kicked it to Deshaun Jackson, and I don't follow football as closely as some of these people. So, even
doesn't
signing
matter.
Off.
But you know what? Doesn't
hey,
matter.
Come on.
This guy, you know what? Sorry. The guy's had punting problems off and on all year long. He's been inconsistent. I put that on the coach as well. You should have had another punter in there. You should have had there were guys lined up. You could have found another punter. You put him out there. The snap was a little high. He froze. He kicked the ball off as best as he could. And Deshaun Jackson caught the ball and dropped it. Still picked the ball up, and the Giants couldn't catch him. But you know what? Matt Dodge wasn't the one who stopped blitzing in the second half. Matt Dodge, I can't blame the game on Matt Dodge. But Coughlin yelling at him at the middle of the field when the game was over was ridiculous. He's a buffoon. I've had enough of Tom Coughlin. Safe is death, and now it's just death, to quote my esteemed co-host on this show.
You are acting like a Ranger fan because one game they lose. All right, it was a big game, and you're already saying it's Tom Coughlin have his head.
No, go back and look at their history. Every year in December, it's the collapse. Every year. And you know what? Somebody said, but he's made the playoffs 5 out of 6 times, whatever it is. Who cares? They haven't won a game. They haven't won it, except for 2007. They haven't won a playoff game under Tom Coughlin. I've had enough of Tom Coughlin. I've had enough.
Somebody tell me what their record in December is?
I could go pull it up if you give me a minute. Give me a minute. As long as we're talking.
I think you're letting your emotions get at the best of you.
No, I'm not. He coached not to lose. Safe as death. And now they're death. And I don't see them going into Green Bay and winning next week.
When you lose to a quality, a good standing human in Michael Vick.
Oh, that bastard. Fuck him. Oh, I can't.
What?
That
what did
piece
he do
of
wrong?
Garbage. You
what
know. Oh, oh, don't get me started. Don't. Don't mandar me.
Any dog fighting? Who cares? What is he? Yeah, he wrote some things like he's a subhuman.
He is a subhuman. He's disgusting.
I like dogs and cats, but it's not like he killed anybody.
He killed dogs. 1-2 and 3 last year in December. From 5-2 to 8-8. That was last year. 2008. 1-3 in December, from 11-1 to 12-4, and out of the playoffs in the first round. And we know what happened in 2007. 2006, 2-3 in December, from 6-2 to 8-8, out of the playoffs in the first round.
What does that mean?
I'm talking about his history in December. This team collapses every year in December. Got to fall on somebody. I'm done with him. I'm done with him. It's time to move on. It's been 7-8 years. It's enough. Thanks for 2007. Time to move along.
What are we gonna get? Rich Kotite?
Yeah, give me Rich Kotite. Get Rich Kotite on the phone. Give me Joe Walton. Is Joe Walton still alive?
You're being a little emotional here. There's still a couple games to go. The playoffs. We'll see whether Tom Coughlin has any magic. I said it to you, and I guess I'll finish on this thought, is that although the Jets have lost every which way but lose for the last 40 years, the Giants will have cataclysmic losses, even if they're winning. They'll have that one loss where you're like, how in the hell did they lose that game? Like, it's like, I think that was the first time a game was ever won on a kick return with no time left. Is that true? I think I read that somewhere.
I don't know, but they lost another one a couple of years ago. They blew to the Eagles on a punt return at the end of the game. Brian Westbrook. The cataclysmic losses, they're endless. They're endless. That was overtime. Yeah, that was another. Well, that's 1980. What was that? 88, I think, or 89. That was 89. Yeah, Flipper Anderson. The Giants were winning that whole game, and then the Rams tied it late. And Flipper Anderson ran the punt or kickoff, whatever it was, right back. Yeah.
You know,
I'm done with Tom Coughlin. I'm done with him.
All right. I have a lot of friends who are Giant fans, and I just I'm trying to keep them on an even keel, and that's what I'm trying to do with you. And although I really think Michael Vick gets a raw deal in the press, they don't really say enough good things about him. He should be playing for the Saints, right?
Yeah.
Don't you know sarcasm when you hear it?
Michael Vick should die of gonorrhea and rotten hell laces up or laces out. I can never remember how that line ends from Ace Ventura.
Oh. Okay. Hey, listen, everybody's in the...
Oh, he's such a hero. Look what he's done. Fuck him.
He wants a dog, too.
He wants a dog.
Why not? Yeah, come on, listen. He's paid his debt to society. It'll be the good Christian Christmassy thing to do. Give him a puppy.
I have to blow up my co-host.
Blow me up, or maybe you think I'm gone.
All right. 18 minutes to go. If you guys want to call in, 646-478-4692. Again, we'll be back Wednesday night with the Holiday Spectacular, and the great Rick Carpinello will join us. And then the Rangers take on the Lightning Thursday night at the Garden. And then a nice little break for the Rangers over the next couple weeks. I think they only play 3 games in the next week and a half or something like that. So time to get some practicing in. And they had a good hard practice today, from what I heard, a training camp like practice.
Yeah, well, you know, let's hope. You know, they played a lot of games, and now it comes at a good time because, you know, with Callahan hurt, I don't know how many games it translates into, you know, 4 to 6 weeks. But surely, if they're only playing 2 games a week, that's pretty good. You know, maybe he won't miss so many games.
Right.
They had so many games in the bank, you know, before he got hurt.
Well, I put I counted the schedule, and if they're saying 6 weeks, I think that puts him out about I think it was 16 or 18 games. And look, they get him back the end of January, and you know that's, and hopefully he stays healthy the rest of the year and be geared up for the playoff run. Yeah, I was Andrew Gross had this. The Rangers conducted an intensive hour plus practice today, complete with drills, scrimmaging, and an all out conditioning skating at the end. Eric Christensen said the skate was so tough, all he wanted to do as soon as it was over was fall asleep. Isn't that what he does when he's on the ice half the time? And Vinny Prospel skated with the team for the first time, and he referred to it as torture skating.
What is that? Torture skating. What does that mean?
Well, I guess it was just hard conditioning. You know, like...
for his knee.
No, I think it was just like Herb Brooks put the Olympians through in Miracle when he's skating them from end to end. I know when Willie Huber used to play for Ted Sater, he used to refer to them as dead skates. No pun intended. I realized after I said that may not have been the most appropriate term, but that is what Willie Huber used to call them.
Oh, wow. Huh.
I love this line. Huh. Meanwhile, Tortorella would not commit to any lineup for Thursday's game.
Boy.
It's only Monday.
You know, I don't like to talk about that, Sam. what else I want to talk to about this? I wanted to talk a little about something that we touched upon in the last one, but it seems to be growing in the Ranger fan world, is the Brandon Prust versus Sean Avery debate. And whether it has Sean Avery kind of lost his luster with Ranger fans now that we see Prust, who plays you know, admittedly, a more headier game than Sean does. Now, although I think Sean can really change the course of a game by getting into a guy's head, he is prone to take stupid penalties. We saw some against the Flyers. I mean, how do you feel about that? You think that, I mean, we know we were all Presbyterians, amen, hallelujah, and all that good stuff. But a lot of people are thinking maybe Avery's expendable now. And what does he have, 1 year left on his contract? And I think, what, Dallas is paying half of it or a third of it or something?
Yeah. You know, I'm either way on Avery. I really am. I don't love him. I don't dislike him. He just is. But when it comes to, if you're going to, like we said this the other night, if you make it Avery versus Prust, give me Prust every day of the week. I wish they had eight Brandon Prusts. Maybe that's the best way to put it. I wish they had eight Brandon Prusts on this team, but I'm sure glad they don't have eight Sean Averys.
That's an interesting way to look at it.
I mean, I am the leader at a Presbyterian church.
Oh, you are?
I don't know. I coined the term, so does that make
sense? You're the pontiff.
The pontiff. The pope of all Presbyterians. That's me.
Yes. Amen, brother.
Lordy, lordy, here comes Shorty.
Lordy, lordy, here comes Shorty. I think, you're going to chuckle over there. I think, why not have both? You know, I'm a kind of like, why not have both guys? I mean, look at my stomach. If you give me steak or you give me fish or give me, you know, your choice
pizza.
Of desserts or ice cream and cake, I want both.
Put the ice cream on the cake.
Exactly. What happens if Prust goes down? Then you have Avery.
But
if Avery goes down, you got Prust. Why not have depth at that kind of play? Although I think Prust, by far, at this juncture in their career, is a much smarter player. But though Avery, what did he lead the team in assists? It's like 13 assists.
I believe that is correct, sir.
You are correct.
Yes.
So I think, case can be made that Avery is having a good season. I think he is. I don't think he's having a great season. I think he needs to, he's got to hit he's got to get more goals than one. Assists, you get assists in this league, just for, being even close to the puck. But the goals are what really matters. He should be how many goals did he get last year? What, he had seven?
Yeah, something like that.
What's he on pace for now?
Five?
Five. So, he should be scoring more than that. He's one of those guys, too, that he goes right behind the net. He gets that puck. First of all, it's either he has the puck in a shooting lane and he'll shoot. He'll never pass. He'll shoot. I don't know how he has up to these assists. And he'll test the goalie. Or he'll go directly behind the net and cycle for 24 minutes. And they'll never get a shot on goal. But they'll cycle. They'll cycle to nowhere.
Right.
Behind the net. And then you got Frolov. He comes on the ice, the same thing. He'll try a wraparound. He leaves.
Frolov tried to wrap around from 30 feet from the net the other day. You see that spinorama? He's like 30 feet from the net with a guy on him. By the way, also from Andrew Gross's Ranger Rants today, there is new thinking on the team. Did you hear this? There's new thinking. And then we got one more phone call that we'll take before we finish up, so hang in there, phone caller. There's new thinking. The new thinking is to just keep Mark Stahl and Dan Girardi together all the time, rather than just pair them for games against opponents with a heavily stacked top line. We're more and more comfortable with them together in all situations, said Tortorella, adding that it also allows the pair to get more ice time. So there you go. Mark Stahl and Dan Girardi now go together like Leech and Bookaboom.
I mean, this is so stupid.
Like Zubov and Wells.
I mean, they are, and I said this, And I'm sure one of you guys in the chat room, and really at this point, they're becoming in the top five pairings in the league. And the stats bear me out on this. We all know Staal is he's a plus. He's playing against the best guys, a game in and game out. And Girardi, for the most part, too. Girardi's leading the league in block shots. They're hitting. They're contributing on both ends of the ice, both of these guys. And I really think they're one of the top pairs in the league. At least, you know, from what I see in the Eastern Conference, for sure. You know, for these guys to have the epiphany that they are going to stay together is just stupid. Because if any of the mouth guy can realize this after game six, and they're just catching on, there's something wrong there's something really wrong here.
And, new thinking. Outside the box.
They're thinking outside the box. They're crazy with intelligence, this organization, let me tell you. So that goes with that. And I also wanted to talk a little bit about my Rangers. Or our Rangers. So we're here with Rangers have 105 goals for. Okay? They have more goals than Pittsburgh for. Well, I don't know about Pittsburgh after tonight. Probably not after tonight, though. But they actually have, like, one of the higher goal for totals in the league. Like, I guess they're in the top five, top seven, maybe. And I find this astounding. Because they don't get a lot of shots on net. You remember how I went on my lack of shots on net rant?
Yeah.
They net get 30 shots on net.
But
so I'm trying to think, what?
Well, the but is that they've also played more games than just about anybody. Like if you could, like you compare them to the Flyers who've played the same amount of games, and the Flyers have 12 more goals. Or you compare them to Ottawa, who's played the same amount of games, and the Rangers have 24 more goals than Ottawa.
Ah. Yeah, and then look at that fact.
Or look at Atlanta, who's played the same amount of games. Atlanta has 10 more goals than the Rangers. But I'll bring you back around. The same amount of games played as Washington, and they've scored one more goal than Washington has, and given up eight fewer goals.
Well, that seems semi-impressive.
And
I mean, they've been struggling. They're a first-place team.
One, two, three, four, five... six, seven, eight. They're about ninth in the league in goal differential. It's not bad.
So my question to you is this. How are they scoring these goals? I mean, I know the guys who have scored, but if you had to describe, say, listen, this is how the Rangers get their goals. You're a coach. This is what we need to shut them down. I don't think there's a real answer to that question. I mean, of course you can shut down Gabrick, but they've done something that they couldn't do last year, and that's win when Gabrick doesn't score goals.
Well, could I also throw a little bit more water on your fire? They've scored 105 goals, but 15 of those goals came in two games: 7 against the Caps, 8 against Edmonton.
Okay, well, I'm sure there's other teams that have blown out other teams this year.
Yeah, I know. But when you
get it, get it.
Yeah, I understand. But you understand what I'm saying. You know, there's been a few too many one-goal games, two-goal games, you know, things like that. So, I mean, the numbers look impressive at face value. But, yeah, I mean, you're right. They're getting more secondary scoring that we always – yelled about. Now they're getting it, but they're not getting the first-and-dairy scoring.
First-and-dairy. Yeah, I guess it's true. The first line, really, if you think about it, it's been a disappointment. I mean, although Gaverick, what's he averaging, a point a game? It's tough, but Gabby, once Gabby starts scoring, hopefully...
Oh, then they'll be getting 7-8 goals every night. Do you want to take our last phone call?
Yeah, sure. Let's go.
Are you ready for that? Or?
Yeah.
All right. Whoops, hold on. The switchboard would cooperate. Well, usually he's the first call of the night. Tonight he's the last call of the night. Robbie, welcome to the show.
How's it going, guys?
Thank you for holding.
Hey, Robbie, how are you?
I'm good. I'm good. It was a tough loss on Saturday, but, you know, I was still hanging in there, so.
Well, you must have found rejuvenated on Sunday.
Hold on a second. Oops. Yes, I was. Yes, I was. I had flashed, but I was watching the Jets game. I had flashbacks of the Rangers beating the Penguins because it's like, you know, New York and beating Pittsburgh. I love
right.
it. But, Jim, I got one question for you. What was your reaction when Deshaun Jackson ran back that punt return for a touchdown? Hello?
I think we lost him, Robbie.
I was just kidding. Hello?
Jimmy, you there? They have just left the broadcast on that question, Robbie.
I think that was it. I wasn't trying to taunt them. I was seriously going to ask them because, you know, I mean, I was pretty shocked myself, and I was pulling for the Giants on that one because I don't like Philadelphia. Did you see the game, Eddie?
Oh, yeah. He's there.
See? He had to go and do it. I got to... We're going to... Sorry, I had to step away from the headset there. We're going to have to wrap it up a couple of minutes early tonight, guys. I got to run.
Okay. Good night, everybody.
All right, guys. We'll catch you... we'll see you Wednesday night. All right, sorry. We're only 3 minutes short, so we'll see you Wednesday night.
Take care, everybody.